Honk Nation is feeling it. The cat is out quickly. He is the defending champ. Welcome to hour number two of the program. I'm Jim Rome. The show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so hour number one, smooth and easy, just the way I like it. We had Sam Ehlinger, Texas quarterback, on. He showed up the way he always does, in a big way. I've got Sonny Dykes, the head football coach at SMU, coming up next segment. Interesting weekend for college football. SEC hit hard by COVID. Pac-12 getting a late start, but getting it away. There's some pretty good matchups in that conference this weekend. And then we've got a nearly full slate of NFL games. And a really good matchup tonight that I want to get into. 1-800-636-8686. I don't know if it's because it's day one of the Masters, but the phone lines are jammed up. I don't know if that means people are at home or what they're doing, but they're definitely calling. I like seeing that. 1-800-636-8686. Again, it's Thursday, so we are short-staffed. You got the old ball guy in the front row, rocking his tie, no eyebrows, Ritt, feeling good about himself. You've got Hawk, who's got a bounce in his step all of a sudden. He is one of the charter members of Honk Nation. And apparently jacked up on mushroom coffee. Hey, Adam, really quickly. Normally, I don't come to you so early in the program. Normally, I would not come to you on a Thursday as you sprint back to the front row to answer some questions. All right, so really quickly, dude, I understand that you're hyped up because it is Thursday and you have to multitask, but it seems like you've got an extra bounce in your step. Is it because your guy Tiger Woods is playing as well as he is, or is there something else going on here?
It's a combination of things, Jim. Thank you for asking. I am just...
Like, listen to you. Dude, listen to you. Listen how fast you're talking, how hyped up you are.
I'm out of my mind on...
Easy, P. Carroll.
...on this mushroom coffee. Right now, I'm looking at
Wait, mushroom?
Yeah, performance...
Not like hallucinogenic. Not shroom coffee.
No, that's kind of a weekend thing, but weekday thing.
Whoa, 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 I'm just kidding.
I'm absolutely joking. The performance mushroom coffee made its way into our break room this week, and I was advised to try it. Right now, my resting heart rate, according to my Garmin watch, is 104. Normally, it's 66. So I'm out of my mind right now on this thing. It's awesome. It's just great. And then you combine what Tiger's doing on the back nine at Augusta right now on a Thursday, and I'd call this a dream day.
Dude, you're having an amazing day. So the shroom has got your resting rate up over 100.
Yes, 104 right now. I'm looking at it. That's a live report from the Garmin watch.
Well, so really quickly, like the way you normally approach your routine, if you normally have coffee at this time, if you hit the Garmin watch, would you be in the 60s? I mean, are you going to attribute this completely to the shrooms?
Yes, absolutely. After some coffee in the morning, you're probably in the 70s or 80s. But to be in triple digits, just sitting down working on a radio show?
I don't know, dude. Like, I've had a mushroom omelet, and I never got that kind of lift from it. What's going on here?
These are performance mushrooms. They are ground up into a fine powder. You put them in the bottom of your coffee cup.
Did you toot it?
No, I did not. You put it in the bottom of your coffee cup. You brew some hot Joe right over it. You stir it up and you sip it. It's tasteless. It's great. And then you're just flying like 30 minutes later.
Where do we get this stuff?
It's in the break room right now.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right. So really quickly. So your guy is playing really, really well. I can't help but think about you two idiots, you and Chael Jr. Have you been? Chael Jr., of course, is Keith Arnold, who used to work here, who, if there's a bigger Tiger Honk than you, it's him. Are the two of you in communication?
Absolutely, we are in communication. I hate to admit to that because I am doing a job right now, but me and Chael Jr. have been trading a flurry of text messages.
You walked right into that, moron. What are you doing trading, quote, a flurry of messages when we're short-staffed?
For the first time in my professional life on this show, I am doing something sports-related, so there is that.
Talking to your friend?
Well, I'm getting
texting with your friend.
I'm getting some insight on the coverage that I'm missing, but me and Chael are jacked up. The difference between me and him right now is I'm sitting at work with a job. He's sitting at home as a stay-at-home dad. And I reminded him of that. I said, "You should be in here right now working, but you're at home doing nothing."
Wait, so he left this show to become a stay-at-home dad?
No, he's got a job, I think. He tells me very...
Don's Motti can't believe this guy did that.
He tells me very ambiguous things about this job. I can't really nail down his hours or his office or anything, but that's the way Keith likes to keep it. You know, he's always two steps ahead with the mystery spin zone factor, so I'll just take him at his word. But it is Thursday. It is a weekday. He's at home watching the Masters.
And by the way, I bet he could not be more pleased. I bet he said to you, dude, I'm at home watching our boy shred on a Thursday. Best day ever. Did he say that to you?
I have big nipples. Like, let's be real.
He did say that, yes. And
Tiger, your response was what?
I lit into him. I said, look, well, I'm here feeding my family. You're at home, probably physically feeding your family because that's what you do now. Is you pour the cereal and you hang out while your wife goes and makes
money.
And
we're watching the same thing, except I'm paid to watch it.
Yes.
I'm feeding myself mushrooms that are ground up into a fine dust.
That's right. And for the record, honestly, dream day. I love Keith Arnold, one of my best friends. I still play golf with him on the regular. I love the guy. I just love talking crap about him because he did it to me the entire time he was here, and he makes it pretty easy.
All right, there you go. And you've got a platform and a megaphone, and he doesn't. All right.
Yes, heart rate up to 110 now.
There you go. If I bring you back in here and expose you for the dope that you are, it'll be up to 125. All right, so this is new. I didn't know about this. We've been talking. Thank you, Adam. We've been talking about coffee on the program and how important it is and how it's a PED. And that's because Bill Belichick went on this whole thing on WEEI about, yeah, I hate coffee. I had it once when I was a kid and my mom poured a glass of water or milk, and then there was a thimble of coffee, and I didn't like the way it tasted or the way it smelled, so that's why I don't do it.
I don't like coffee.
And then that explained everything, right? This is why this guy is like the biggest grouch ever. I mean, aren't we all before a cup of coffee? So we got into that whole topic. What I did not know is, in the break room, apparently we have some performance shrooms. I didn't know that you could get that kind of lift, Hawk, out of mushrooms. He said, well, like I said, I'll have a mushroom omelet. I'll drop some mushrooms on my steak on occasion. I've never been bouncing off the walls like you just were. He said, that's because your mushrooms are not ground into a fine powder. All right. Haven't done it yet. You know who brought this into our house? Cindy, our stylist. Been holding out on me, though. I didn't know that. I did not know that. Hawk bumped into it. You know what we should do? I'll tell you what I need for confirmation, then I'll get back to the program. I need old man Ritt to drop the finely ground mushrooms into his hot chocolate. Let's do that. But then that would break Ritt's vow of no vegetables as an adult. Not one vegetable. Ritt's trying to argue that mushrooms are not a vegetable. They're a fungus. All right, fine. Fine. Put it in your hot chocolate, old man, and let's see what that does to your heart rate. I want to know if this stuff works. Let's check out the reaction. Obviously, Honk Nation is feeling it right now. Jamie in Green Bay, quote, "We seem to have caught Hawk in the middle of a mushroom coffee frenzy."
What?
Almost, Ritt. Close enough, Ritt. Oh, so close, Ritt. This challenging time tweets, "What sound drop we all play when Adam Hawk keels over in the booth after ODing his magical mushroom coffee?"
Now I'm done.
There you go. Okay. Jackie Cav 1 tweets, "I am a cyclist. My resting heart rate is currently 46. When I crush the mushroom coffee, it spikes up to 61. I think someone spiked the shrooms with meth." You got that, Hawk? Hawk's response to that would be, "That's just a humble brag. You're not giving us any information. It's a humble brag that you're a cyclist with a resting heart rate of 46. In fact, I don't know what mine is. I would like to know. Since I've jumped up my Peloton to 60-minute rides like 5 or 6 times a week, I wonder what my resting heart rate is. I don't even know the answer to that. Drew in West LA wants to jump in. "Is Hawk's coffee certified fair trade? Signed, Coffee Guy." I do not know the answer to that. All right, having some fun. Maybe it's the shrooms. I've not found my way to them yet. One more before I go to the phones. Jim, I did not know that Hawk was an 86 Mets alumni. Matt in Houston. Man, that was some kind of team, wasn't it? The 86 Mets. Doc. I had Doc on the Showtime show. We talked about what that was like for him. Straw. Talked to a lot of those guys. There was nothing like that 86 Mets team. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Buffalo. Jake in Buffalo. I was shouting out to the Bills Mafia the last couple of days. Nobody even responded. Maybe this guy will. Jake, what's going on?
Yo, what's up, Jimmy? Hey, we don't need any mushroom coffee here in Buffalo because we're straight jacked up on Buffalo Bills football. And I heard you calling out Buffalo this week looking for some reaction, so I figured I'd lob you a call. And I got to assume that the lack of Mafia participation this week is because our entire fan base has been Tony La Russa level smammered on Hope and Labatt Blue. But, Jim, after this week's dominant, and I mean dominant win over the Seahawks, I think America is finally ready to hear what we've come to know in Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills are a premier organization in the NFL. The Buffalo Bills have been a premier organization in the NFL ever since Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean took this team over. And get ready, America, because we're going to be a premier organization in the NFL for a long freaking time. Because more important than getting Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, John Brown is that this organization has built a culture and a process in how we approach games, seasons, and eras, and it's built for success in the long term. So it's going to be a long, cold, lake effect, snow-filled era for the AFC East because this division is going through Buffalo today and for a very long time. So buckle up, Pats Nation, because your time is over. I want to hear from Framingham, Chelmsford, Quincy, Braintree. React to me!
Give it to him. Rack him. That's what I've been looking for, Mafia. Finally, somebody from the up-and-coming, shiny city of Buffalo. They started 4-0, and we got pretty hyped on them because Josh Allen looked like the MVP at 4-0. Like, this guy looked like a different guy altogether. Had it together. Better decision-making, pushing the ball downfield, beating teams with his legs. And then they lost a couple of games, and then we thought, same old Bills. Here we go again. Beating everybody they're supposed to beat, but nobody that they're not supposed to beat. Same old Bills. But then they punched their way back. Then they came back. They beat the Jets. Yeah, who cares? But they beat the Pats. Yeah, but not the same Pats. So there's always this, yeah, but. Yeah, but. Beat somebody who matters. Beat somebody who matters. Well, they not only beat somebody who matters, they beat Seattle down and looked amazing doing it. And all of a sudden, Josh Allen is starting to look like Jim Kelly. Yeah, I know. I know. You want to be really careful about comparisons like that. I understand this. Jim Kelly is a Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever do it. But I'm telling you, Allen is a really different dude. Allen is special, and he's getting better. And they are 7-2. And just winning the AFC East is not enough for Buffalo. Just getting to the postseason and winning is not enough for Buffalo. That's how high the bar has been raised. That's where the standard is right now. He was talking about a new culture and a new process. Getting to the postseason and making a deep run is what that team needs to do. And I think they've got to look at it. I think they have a look at it. I mean, obviously, Kansas City is still the team to beat. Pittsburgh is still the only undefeated team in the NFL. Then you've got Baltimore, who's got a lot of things they have to answer still yet. But Buffalo is in that conversation and getting better. Good to see the Mafia finally rise up. All right, as I mentioned, the rare Thursday night matchup that I care about. We can get that disgusting taste out of our mouth from Monday. You know, the taste of vomit where we all threw up in our own mouths watching that game between the Pats and the Jets. That's all going to get washed clean. We'll have a nice palate this evening. A good AFC South matchup, which I will get into. When we come back, though, we'll talk some college football. SMU head coach Sonny Dykes is going to join me. Listen, if you're on hold, it's been a good day for phone calls already. Stay there. I'll roll those telephone calls later on. K-100.
Capital One Shopping instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. So when you find the perfect golf gear, Capital One Shopping looks for coupon codes. Just download Capital One Shopping to your computer and then let it do the work for you. It's free. You don't even need a Capital One card to use it. That's like hitting a hole-in-one without even trying. Capital One Shopping. Pretty genius, actually. What's in your wallet? Savings and available coupons do vary.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
They're efforting the head football coach at SMU, Sonny Dykes. And they're having a big year. They're number 19 in both polls. They are 7-1. They are at Tulsa on Saturday. In the meantime, Jeff in SoCal tweets simply, and I quote, "This Bills fan is an idiot." Jake in Buffalo. I don't know, Jeff, why do you say that? Everything he said made sense to me. Squirrel 2 tweets, "You have shrooms in your break room? I'm on my way. Yours, Ira Beg." Yeah, Ira Beg is not on his way, I don't think. And we don't really have shrooms in our break room. We have finely ground shrooms in our break room. As promised, we are joined right now by the head football coach at SMU, third season with the Mustangs. Led SMU to a 10-win season last year and a bowl appearance. SMU, as I mentioned, is 7-1 on the year. They're number 19 in both polls, and they are at Tulsa on Saturday. 7 p.m. Eastern starts. Sonny Dykes is my guest. Sonny, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Good, Jim. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Really good to have you. Great to have you back. I'm going to ask you about this weekend, but before I do so, let me ask you, Sonny, you went on the road. You beat Temple Saturday 47-23, but that was a game where you had a four-point lead going into the fourth quarter. Then you scored four straight touchdowns. You pull away. As you said afterwards, it's never easy to go on the road and get a win. So what's it say about your guys that they did go on the road and they closed it out the way they did?
Yeah, especially traveling, you know, from Dallas to Philadelphia. It was a long travel. You know, we had a great day for football. I mean, the weather in Philadelphia was beautiful. It was like a Southern California day, so we got really fortunate there. But it took us a while to wake up. It was an early game for us. We didn't play well in the first half. It really challenged our guys, and we came out and played better in the second half and got a win. And, you know, we're a team that, Jim, when we play well, we're a good football team. And when we kind of go through the motions, we're not very good. And we didn't start as well as we needed to. We didn't do as good a job getting them ready to play as we should have, and didn't play well in the first half, but really played well in the second half.
But finished like a freight train. Sonny Dykes is joining us. You know, you mentioned that we're a team that when we're right, we play really well. You've got so many guys that can make so many plays for you. For instance, in terms of production, you have four different players who've gone for more than 200 all-purpose yards in a game so far this season. So what does that say about your depth and your versatility that you have with this unit?
Yeah, we've got some explosive players. You know, we lost our leading receiver, Reggie Robertson, had an ACL injury against Memphis early in the year and was headed to a 300-yard, you know, game when he got hurt. Real explosive guy. You know, we've got some guys that have stepped up. We have a freshman running back, Ulysses Bentley, that's I think leading rusher in college football in terms of yards right now. He's really playing well for us, been very productive. Got another guy, Danny Gray, that can really run. A solid player, Tyler Page, and then Rashee Rice is another receiver that's really emerging. So we've got some depth. We certainly miss Reggie. You know, Reggie was our big play guy and a guy that's caught a lot of balls for us and made a bunch of plays for us. But the good thing is we've got some guys that can run, and they've stepped up and done a good job so far.
You know, you mentioned Tyler Page. I wanted to ask you about him, Sonny. For instance, he had 9 receptions for 131 yards, a couple of TDs, and he has broken out in a really big way. Like, with 32 receptions, that's more than he had in his entire career to this point. I thought you had a really funny line when you said about him, quote, "Every single business, corporation, football team, baseball team, basketball team, Little League, soccer team, he's one of the guys where everybody goes, oh, we're going to replace this guy. We can find somebody who's bigger and faster." And then you try and do it and you realize how valuable he is, end quote. So what's that process been like for you? And what's it say about him that you can't replace him?
Yeah, I mean, he's like the guy that goes to, you know, the state university instead of getting the Ivy League education and just outworks all the Ivy League guys, you know, and is the leading salesman in his company. He's just
you know, he's where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. He's very competitive. He's playing with a ton of confidence. And Shane Buechel, our quarterback, has really gotten on the same page with him and trust him to be where he's supposed to be and when he's supposed to be there. And really, that's what playing the receiver position is all about. It's about being in the right place at the right time, that quarterback trusting you, and then starting to develop that relationship that allows the quarterback to be able to throw balls before you come out of a break and the guys to be able to come out of a break and know where the balls are going to be. And so he's been really productive for us. He plays incredibly hard. Just really, really consistent, and we're really lucky that he's playing as well as he is.
Sonny Dykes is joining us. You mentioned Shane Buechel. For those who do not know, he leads college football in passing yardage, completions, and more. For those who not only don't know that but haven't seen that much of him, where is his separation? What makes him so unique?
Well, he's played a lot of football. You know, he started at the University of Texas as a true freshman, and not many people have done that. You know, and went there and played, and played as a sophomore and ended up losing the job. I think that, you know, once they made a coaching change, you know, Coach Herman had a little bit different philosophy in terms of what he wanted from a quarterback. He wanted somebody that can run. And Sam Ellinger was right there and has been a great player for Texas. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to get Shane on the transfer market. And he's come in and done an unbelievable job for us. I mean, he's changed our program, led us to 10 wins last year. You know, I think we're 17-4 in our last 21 games is Shane is a starter. And so he's really, you know, transformed our program. He's just very consistent. He's an unbelievable leader. You know, our players have a lot of confidence in him. Our coaches have confidence in him. You know, he's one of those people that makes every single person around him better. He just brings out the best in people. And he's been great for us as coaches. I know he's has had a big impact and very influential on his teammates. And he's obviously a really good football player. You know, he anticipates throws. He's accurate. You know, he understands defenses. He doesn't force balls. He does a great job taking care of the ball. And the one thing he's done for us this year is convert some critical, you know, third downs and fourth downs with his legs. And he's not a great runner, but he's had a knack for scrambling and being able to convert convert some first downs and keep drives alive.
SMU head football coach Sonny Dykes joining us once again. You know, Sonny, you and I have talked about recruiting in the past and your vision for the program and how hard it is and how hard your staff works when it recruits. You recently told The Athletic, quote, "Our hope is we can be like what Miami did in Miami. We asked ourselves over and over again, can we do that? Can we be the U in Dallas?" End quote. I think that's a really interesting question and a really powerful statement. You know, when you think back to those days, you know, the great years of the U, what do you think about and how do you see yourselves emulating that or recreating that where you are? How would that work?
Well, you look at both schools, they're both kind of smaller private schools in an urban setting and, you know, right in the middle of a big city. And so, you know, they actually have a lot in common. And both, you know, most importantly, there's very good high school football played in Miami. And I think the best high school football in the United States is played in Dallas. And so you have a great recruiting base. You have kids that love, you know, the city of Dallas, that take a lot of pride in being from Dallas. You know, that sometimes they leave and they want to come back. You know, we've got a lot of transfers on our team that have been outstanding players that, you know, went someplace and got homesick and wanted to come home. And those guys have really helped transform our program as well. And so our goal is to recruit well enough where we don't have to recruit transfers. We can get the best high school kids. And, you know, right now we're doing that. I mean, we've got some elite level kids that are going to stay home, that could go really anywhere in the country, that are going to stay home and go to SMU. And I think they're starting to share our vision. Like anything else, it takes time. I mean, it's going to take time, and you know, you got to continue to build your roster and keep turning it over and keep improving the bottom half of your roster, and that'll help improve the top half of it as those guys grow up. And so, our recruiting's better. The transfer thing is still going to be something that we utilize as well. And you know, more and more kids are starting to see SMU as a viable option now. And if we can just recruit Dallas, you know, not only Texas but just really Dallas, then that's going to give us a chance to be a top 25 program, and that's, you know, that's, you got to get there before you can become a team that competes for championships.
Makes sense. Sonny Dykes, my guest for a couple of more moments. I mean, Sonny, the year has been so unusual. Earlier this season, AAC Commissioner Michael Resco was talking about your program's efforts when it came to COVID. He said, quote, "Sonny Dykes has been incredible. They have been thinking outside the box," end quote. So how have you gone about dealing with precautions and protocols? What has that experience been like for you?
Well, when we sat down and first started talking about these things in April, you know, the thought was, okay, what's the most important thing? Number one, the safety of our student athletes. And then number two, what could jeopardize our ability to be able to play, and that was contact tracing. And so what we said is, okay, how do we eliminate contact tracing? And so we sat down and put together a comprehensive plan. You know, we don't have a locker room. Our players don't dress in a locker room at all. So we dress in the concourse with everybody socially distanced in an open-air environment. And then after practice, our guys come in, they turn their helmets or shoulder pads in, they're sprayed down, they leave, they go home, they take a shower. All the food is served, grab and go. They come in, they grab their food, and they leave. They eat it somewhere else. So that eliminates contact tracing when it comes to eating. We do all our meetings via Zoom, so that eliminates the possibility to contact trace with meetings and guys sitting in a meeting room where you might lose a whole position. And then we're very conscious of what we're doing when it comes to interacting with each other during practice. And, you know, the great thing about it is studies are showing now that there's really a very small chance that things are going to get passed to each other, you know, during a physical practice, during contact, during practice. And so it's so that's allowed us to do a little bit more. But, for example, the same defensive end might go against the same offensive tackle every day to avoid contact tracing. And so far it's worked. You know, we're over 5,000 tests with our players. We've only had two positives, and really haven't had any positives in about 6 weeks. And so it's allowed us to continue to play football and allowed us to have a chance to have a successful season.
So let me finally ask you this. I mean, that's pretty impressive. That's really exhaustive. That's really comprehensive. And you're working that plan, and it's working to your advantage. But is there any – but I would imagine not everybody is hitting that as hard and with the kind of diligence and discipline that you are. Is there any part of you that's approaching every game like it could be your last and that the season could end at any minute?
Well, you know, it's like anything else. It takes two teams to be able to play. And so, you know, I think in our league's actually done a really good job. You know, I think a lot of our coaches in our league have been guys that have had to think outside the box and have had to adjust. And as a result of most of the games, you know, in the American Athletic Conference have been played. And I think our conference leadership has done a great job with Mike Oresco and then the entire staff of trying to get out and say, hey, these are some ideas that you guys may want to consider. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you have to do what you're comfortable with in your program. But we felt like we had a chance to have a really good season. You know, we had a senior quarterback coming back, and we wanted to do everything we could do to play as many games as we possibly could. And, you know, nobody likes meeting via Zoom. You know, you want to be able to sit in a room with your players and coaches and interact with each other. But we just felt like that was going to put the guys at risk. And so we haven't done it at all. We continue to adjust every single day to things that we learn, what other teams have done as far as best practices when it comes to travel, whatever the case may be. You know, when we travel, we all wear N95 masks. We wear face shields. You know, we bused half our staff 8 hours to Tulane to play in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago instead of going on a plane so that everybody could social distance on the plane so we wouldn't have any contact tracing. So we've done literally everything that we can think of to ensure that we have a chance to play. But it's like you said, I mean, you just never know. And, you know, the outbreak right now is not very good here in Texas. And so, you know, there's a lot of cases in particular in Dallas, and our players have been able to stay safe so far, and that's allowed us to play games on Saturday.
I appreciate that conversation very much. SMU is 7-1. They're number 19 in both polls, and they are back at it Saturday against Tulsa. Sonny Dykes is the head football coach there. Sonny, great to get caught up, and I do appreciate the conversation. Thanks so much. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, Jim, for having me. I appreciate it. It's always good talking to you.
Great talking to you, Sonny. Thank you. I'm really impressed with that conversation. Like, when he says that they want to make Dallas or they want to make SMU the U of Dallas, that makes sense. I think that's possible. I mean, you hear that all the time, right? Like, we want to be the U. But then when you hear him lay out the similarities between these programs, a couple of smaller private schools in a city with all that talent in the backyard. And if you keep that talent at home, I mean, everybody says that, right? But it's so true. He said not even keep the talent of Texas, but just the talent in Dallas alone. If we can keep them at home, we can build something very similar. And in fact, I think they can. The more I talk with him, the more I watch him, the more I listen to him, the more I think that it's not a question of if, but a matter of when. He's in his third season. They went to a bowl game last year. Already had a 10-win season last year. And the way they're approaching COVID and the fact that he said they've had thousands of tests, only two positive tests, because they're disciplined within. I mean, he's got a really good approach and a good handle on that. Bryson DeChambeau, birdied for the third time today. He's now one under. What do you know? That double on 13 to start the day did not knock him out of the tournament. Are you watching the Masters? Are you at home watching the Masters? Are you at home as a stay-at-home dad watching the Masters? Are you at home as a stay-at-home dad talking junk about the rest of us at work watching the Masters? No names mentioned, Chael Jr. What are you doing? Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. All right, so they're open for the next hour. The last segment of the show, we'll have a conversation with the head football coach at Coastal Carolina, Jamie Chadwell. In between now and then, we are wide open. It's been a good day on social. It's been a good day on the phones, too. And a good day so far at the Masters. They had a three-hour rain and thunder delay, and then they finally got out. And the cat got out quickly. Birdied three of his first four holes. John Rahm with an eagle. He's also three under. Jordan Spieth gave back a few. John Rahm definitely got to watch this week, without question. John Rahm goes to minus four with that birdie. My man's playing extremely well and has a lot of confidence. And as you know, the jungle is a big, big John Rahm house. All right, let's take a short timeout. My thanks to Sonny Dykes. Again, really impressed with the job he's doing at SMU. I think it's not a question of if, but a matter of when. Like, there will never be another you. The you is its thing onto itself. There will never be another you. But if you want to build something that kind of looks and feels like that, I think Sonny Dykes has a great opportunity at SMU. Let's go to a sports update. Here it is. Here's the guy.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
For all the ones who get it done, there is Grainger offering supplies and solutions for every industry to help keep your facilities safe and your people even safer. Click Grainger.com/safety for a stop on by. Man, they are throwing darts at Augusta. Numbers are getting posted. There was a three-hour rain delay earlier today and thunder as well, so the track is soft and guys are playing really aggressively. Paul Casey, your first-round leader, minus 6 through 11. A shot back is Webb Simpson at minus 5 through 14. Then you've got a really impressive group at minus 4, including the Big Cat. Tiger Woods is having himself a day. Lee Westwood, John Rahm, also in that group. Patrick Reed, tied for 7th, minus 3. Got a group of guys at minus 2, including Xander Schauffele. Bryson DeChambeau is tied for 13th right now. He's minus 1 through 12. Tony Finau, big jungle guy, minus 1 through 11. And so that's how that looks. Big numbers so far. Currently 79 degrees there. The rain stopped. 1-800-636-8686. Big story, though. Tiger Woods, minus 4 and playing very well. He is two shots back, the defending champ. All right, so phone call is coming up in a minute. I do want to mention tonight's game. So finally Thursday, and that's important because not that it gets us closer to the weekend, but it gets us an opportunity to get that nasty taste out of our mouth that's been lingering since Monday Night Football. You know, that nasty, disgusting taste after the Pats and the Jets were vomiting all over themselves. I feel like I puked in my own mouth watching that game. It was bad, man. It's like the Pats and Jets. They left us with vomit or Bud Light Lime in our taste buds for three damn days. No offense, lime drinkers. Or lime drinker. Actually, I don't care if you are offended. Like, if it looks like ass, and it sounds like ass, and it tastes like ass. All together now, what is it? Ass. So I see that Bud Light Lime Monday night matchup, and I raise you with tonight's Pliny the Elder. An AFC South showdown between the Tennessee Titans and Indianapolis Colts. Monday was pure, bitter. Tonight, though, what do we get? A well-balanced matchup with malt, hops, and alcohol, just slightly bitter, with a fresh hop aroma. In other words, we get ourselves a massive upgrade. You heard me right. I am here to hype the rare Thursday night game that's actually good, really good. An AFC South fister between the Titans and the Colts. It's got some serious potential playoff implications. I mean, the division itself might be hanging in the balance. A game that we can all get down with. Now, the biggest question for Indy, let me start right there. The biggest question for the Colts, of course, now is which Philip Rivers is going to show up.
Dadgummit!
I mean, dadgummit is right, P.
Dadgummit!
Dadgummit! Which of you is going to show up tonight? Because I think we all have a pretty good idea which Colts D is going to show up tonight. The dominant D that has carried that team all season long. The one who has taken the next step from being a good unit to the best statistical unit in the NFL after their offseason acquisitions. Namely, that deal they made for DeForest Buckner. D-Buck has been dominant all year long. He's been amazing. The Colts needed that three technique to be special, and he has been a beast for them. You know, split the guard and the tackle, create the pressure, create the turnovers, and it's working. Indy is tied with Blitzberg with a league-best 11 INTs. So you know the D is going to be right. The Colts' D is always right. They'll be ready. Now, the Titans' D, that's something entirely different. The Titans' D has not been itself. They have not been that good this year. In fact, I hate to say it, but on some level, they've been historically bad this year, at least on third downs. And in large part, that pass rush that they invested so heavily in has not been producing. Jadeveon Clowney, Vic Beasley, they were brought in for the express purpose of getting after the quarterback. As of today, zero sacks. Zero. And Beasley's reign with the Titans is already iced.
Ice!
Hell, I mean, Vic. I guess through no fault of his own, but Vic Beasley, Tennessee Titan, didn't even beat out Randy Moss, Tennessee Titan.
I just want to start off, man, let my family know, man, my mama, my brother, my sister, man, your baby brother, your baby boy is good, man. I've been through a lot in the last couple weeks, and, you know, like I said, I got these broad shoulders, man. I can carry a lot of weight.
I mean, Vic, at least Randy gave us that. Still one of the greatest sound bites of all time. Nearly 10 years ago to the day, Randy couldn't pick up the cell to lob mom a call and the fam a call, so he used the media to dispel that missing person alert on him from the Moss family. Your baby boy's fine. I got broad shoulders. Here I am. I'm still here. What a legend. Such a great Randy Moss move. Anyway, I digress. Back to the game. Not that old D that you've come to expect from Mike Vrabel and Tennessee, but they do create turnovers. And I have to say, Philip, dadgummit, also creates turnovers. In fact,
Philip,
what are you doing, Ritt? Give me that sad music. In their three losses, he's thrown one touchdown and five INTs.
Oh, quit crying! Quit crying! You're talking the whole game, now you're on mute!
I'm not crying. I'm just stating the facts. And the fact of the matter is, my man, Phil, I love Philip Rivers. I do. I really do. This is not the easiest thing to watch as a guy starts to kind of age out and he's not what he used to be. But the fact of the matter is, they've got a really good defense. And not only that, they've got a really good offensive line in front of him. This is why they brought this guy in for that one last shot and gave him that huge money. Because they've got a really good defense and a really good offensive line in front of him. So it's hard for me to watch. It's hard for me to say. But Father Time appears to be kicking his ass right now. I mean, it seems like that off-season surgery where the doctor attached a noodle to where his right arm used to be also was not taking. I can't figure it out with this dude. But I do know this. Folks are rushing up the hill looking for his head on a stick. and they're not necessarily wrong to be doing so. I know this guy can still make some of the throws, and I know this guy can still make some of the plays. You just never know what you're going to get from Phillip game to game, or even half to half. He still has that in him. You just don't know when you're going to get it. And he's not the only guy, though. It might start with him, but he's not the only issue, Colts fan. It's not all on him. We know the offensive line's going to do what it does. Line up, smash you in the damn mouth, and keep that pocket pretty clean. But he's got to get some help from his skill guys. They're not the same either. T.Y. Hilton's playing tonight, presumably, but he's looked like a shell of himself. And somebody's got to step up and make somebody miss or two. Because you know Derrick Henry will. Henry's going to make somebody miss, and Henry's going to run right over somebody, and Henry is going to stiff-arm somebody to the center of the earth. So, we'll see about Phil, because I know Ryan Tannehill is going to take care of the football. Tannehill is a master at protecting the football and creating plays. Hey, Sam Darnold, my man, can you hear me? If you can, use Tannehill as hope for you that there is, in fact, life after crazy eyes. So we'll see. This game, when I saw it earlier in the week, it was a two-point game. Now I see it's a pick'em game. It's going to really come down to which Phillip shows up and whether or not he gets any help from his skill guys.
Oh, quit crying! Quit crying!
Again, not crying, just stating the facts. They need him to play big. He needs guys around him on the outside especially to step up and get it done. Luckily, though, we have a good, watchable Thursday night game, and we can get that vomit-filled Bud Light lime taste out our damn mouths. It's going to be good. Who you got? Who do you like? Tough for me to say because I don't know which Phillip shows up. Jamie Chadwell, next hour. Your phone calls, next segment, and an update of the Masters leaderboard. Don't go anywhere.